Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to the Health Plans and New York State Tobacco Cessation Centers Building a Partnership conference call. This conference is being recorded. All lines have been placed on listen-only mode, and the floor will be open for your questions and comments following the presentation. Without further ado, it is my pleasure to turn the floor over to your host, Ms. Bobby Hart. Ms. Hart, the floor is yours.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am Bobby Hart, and I'm the director for the Bronx Breeze, the Bronx Tobacco Cessation Center. Bronx Breeze is one of 19 tobacco cessation centers that are funded by the New York State Department of Health Tobacco Control Program. And on behalf of the New York State Tobacco Cessation Centers and the New York State Smokers Quitline, I welcome you to today's call, Health Plans and New York State Tobacco Cessation Centers Building a Partnership. Tobacco cessation centers are charged with the mission to work with healthcare providers to ensure that they are taking a proactive approach with their patients who smoke. Extensive research shows that when this is in place, quit rates can double or triple. The goal of the cessation centers is identical with health plans. We want to see fewer people smoking. Cessation centers train and provide ongoing technical assistance for healthcare providers on evidence-based systems changes. In addition, we provide free services and support for health plans. Our speakers today will share their experiences in partnering with cessation centers to improve their consumer assessment of healthcare provider systems, which the acronym is CAP scores, and implement best practices to help patients quit smoking. Before we start, I just have a few housekeeping items. If you have not downloaded the slides for today's presentations, and eventually all recordings are posted on the collaborative call page of the New York State Smokers Quitline, you can download the slides now from the website's front page. Click on the Healthcare Providers and Partners tab, then choose Collaborative Call. Click on the link for more information on the current and past calls to find presentations. For participants on today's call, you will be advancing your own slides, and the speaker will announce when to advance slides. We will have a question and answer period at the end of this presentation. CEs and CMEs will not be provided for this call. If you want proof of attendance for this activity, please send Sue Lennon an email with your contact information to receive credit for participation. Her email address is included on the website. And without further ado, our first speaker for today is Judith Leuchter. It's over to you, Judy.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Judy Leuchter, and I am a quality management program manager for quality management at Affinity Health Plan. Affinity Health Plan began as the Bronx Health Plan, and its only membership was within the Bronx, working with Montefiore Medical Center. We were founded in 1986 by Maura Bluestone, who is still our CFO. We're an independent, not-for-profit plan, and we bring healthcare coverage to the underserved in New York. Our programs are all sponsored by New York State. We serve more than 260,000 members, Medicaid members, and dual-eligible Medicaid and Medicare members in the five boroughs of New York City, Nassau, Suffolk, Westchester, Rockland, and Orange counties. One of our main reasons for addressing smoking cessation with our members is because of our CAPS scores. CAPS is a survey of all members. It's an anonymous survey that's filled by all our members, and we have it every 2 years. And three of the questions in the CAPS survey is concerning smoking cessation and how providers address smoking cessation with our members. And we have found in the past that we have not done very well in this measure. Our members do not give credit to our providers for talking to them about smoking cessation, and we wanted to see some changes in that. We're convinced that our providers do talk to them, but it's the issue of having the members remember that that's where they got their information. So just a little bit about our CAP survey. There are three questions in the CAPS survey concerning smoking cessation. The first one is, has the doctor advised you to quit smoking? The second one is, has the doctor recommended medications to help you quit smoking? And the third one is, has your doctor discussed methods and strategies to assist you with quitting smoking? On slide five, we have survey results, our CAPS survey results, comparing Affinity Health Plan to both New York City and statewide averages. As you can see, Affinity is consistently lower in our averages, in our percentage points, than our statewide average. We are looking to raise that. One of the reasons we're looking to raise that is that CAP survey is one of the measures in the money for the QAR survey. And if we do well in that, we get points, which increases our success rate, and we could get money for that. So going back to slide three, to summarize some of the other reasons why we have a partnership, the first, of course, is to increase the CAP scores and positively impact our QAR rates. The other reasons are just as important, though. We can help, through this kind of collaboration, we can help the New York State Tobacco Cessation Centers in penetrating the primary care sites by targeting affinity practices. Affinity has many practices throughout the boroughs, and if we can get our tobacco cessation reps in them, then we can definitely impact more people. Another reason is that Take Care New York has smoking cessation as a core indicator. And as a healthcare plan, we need to pay attention to these healthcare, these core indicators. And that is one of our mandates from New York City. So this fulfills our addressing smoking cessation for our members. And finally, we can be more effective together rather than singly, because two minds is better than one. And if we work together as a partnership, we can have more impact in smoking cessation. Turning back to page six, just to give you a little bit of history about our partnership between Affinity Health Plan and the tobacco cessation centers. Our first discussions took place after a motivational interviewing workshop that took place in 2009. At that point, I met a lot of tobacco cessation reps there. I had not known that these centers were in existence until this workshop. And it was fabulous to hear about it, because this was an avenue that we could use to increase our impact into our members. After the motivational interviewing workshop, we had a follow-up call to discuss working together and what the possibilities were for forming a collaborative and a partnership to work into the community with providers, with affinity providers in the community. One of the plans we came up with was utilizing affinity's provider relations representatives to go into our sites to talk about smoking cessation and talk about the tobacco cessation centers. We wanted to piggyback on their already formed relationships with the affinity providers, because sometimes one of the greatest problems is getting into the site to talk to the correct person. We have representatives in each county, and they know their sites very well, and they know which sites would be good targets and which sites would probably just tell us to get lost. So that was one of our discussions for the partnership. Our next steps for the partnership was selecting high-volume sites from Affinity's memberships. We decided to select high-volume sites because we figured we would get the most bang for our buck. We could impact more members and more providers in those large sites than just the sites that have one or two members in them. We would also solicit our provider relations input into the project and how they feel it would be most effective. Since they know their providers very well, they would have insight as to that. And we would also share our target list with the tobacco cessation centers so they could give us feedback as to who they already accessed and who they, looking at the list, who they think are the best targets, who would work best for them. And lastly, one of our goals for the partnership was to clarify Affinity smoking cessation benefits. One of the most consistent questions that our providers have is what are the benefits that Affinity can give to smoking cessation? Now, as you know, the smoking cessation benefits are now individualized to the plan. So each plan has its own smoking cessation benefits, and our provider relations people could help our providers understand what Affinity's benefits are. Those benefits can be found on our website. Now that we had initial discussions, we needed to implement the program. The first step for me was to get to know the tobacco cessation reps and to schedule meetings with them to talk about further goals and next steps, to find out exactly what they're doing, how they approach certain sites, and how we can work with them. Set up goals as to how many centers we want to reach and the ways that we want to do it. We developed individualized introduction letters for each center to be sent to the sites in that particular zone that the tobacco cessation reps cover, introducing their program, their specific programs, as well as Affinity Health Plan. We also developed descriptions of the collaborative, one for the provider relations representatives at Affinity, so they understand what we were doing, and they better understand the tobacco cessation centers and why we're doing it, and then one for the provider practices to understand, again, what we are, who we are, and how we're working together. The next step was creating a protocol for the provider relations outreach attempts. This was to assist them in knowing how to make phone calls, what information to give their sites, their providers, and what kind of information we need from them, from the providers. We asked the provider relations representatives to make introductory phone calls, which explained the collaboration, explained the what the tobacco cessation reps, what their goals were, and to identify possible training sites with them. We communicated these dates then to the tobacco cessation representatives. And we found a date the provider relations people and the tobacco cessation representatives found a date that was best for everybody and set those dates and confirmed those dates. In this protocol, we had asked the provider relations people to attend the first meeting with the providers. We were hoping that any kinds of questions about Affinity, all benefits of all sorts, or how Affinity works, any of those questions could be answered by the Affinity representative rather than having them given to the tobacco cessation representative, because that's not their forte. They know about smoking cessation. They don't know specifics about Affinity Health Plan. All subsequent outreach after that first initial meeting would be made by the tobacco cessation representatives, and eventually they would report back to me. There was ongoing communication between quality management and the provider relations rep and the tobacco cessation reps, because without that constant communication, particularly with the provider relations representative, this project went into the background. We continued to do outreach until about January, for the couple of months in the fall, until maybe the end of January, beginning of February of 2010, and then we went on hiatus because of our Quarhedis chart review, and I was unable to give enough time to the project to make it move forward. However, in July 2010, once the Quarhedis review was over, we started discussing this collaboration again. At that time, we had a new manager of provider relations, and I spoke with him, and this was very important because up till this point, we did not have any relationship with any kind of manager in provider relations. So it was just between me and the provider relations reps, and I don't really have much say in what they in their priorities in their work schedule. So this helped me to add legitimacy to the program by working with the new program manager. We discussed how the first attempt went, what the pitfalls were, how we can move forward, and we formalized the process of outreach. The first thing we did was develop a provider representative outreach information sheet. This gave the provider relations representatives a sheet to know exactly what questions to ask, the name of the site, the contact information, possible training dates, and site or training specifics, meaning how many people were coming, were they doctors, were they the entire site, did they need lunch, was it an hour, was it 15 minutes, that sort of information. Once we created that sheet and clarified between the two of us what our goals were and how we want this to proceed, we had a staff meeting with all of the provider representatives. This, again, legitimized the project that we were doing because management was behind us. And in that meeting, we reintroduced the partnership, explained what we were doing, explained the CAP scores, explained the tobacco cessation rep centers, and went over the protocol. The protocol we had was we reevaluated and changed the protocol somewhat. We formalized the process. We had closer control of what the provider representatives were doing and the communication, and we better identified expectations for the provider relations representatives. What we decided to do was we would again have the provider relations representatives touch base with the tobacco representatives so they knew each other and they knew what their common goals were and they set next steps. After that point, the provider representatives made introductory calls to the providers. Again, they explained the program and explained the collaborative, emphasizing the CAP survey and letting them know that we were offering them premier access to a free training opportunity. Providers always love free training opportunities, and we wanted to emphasize this point. With the providers, our representatives were to identify two or three possible training sites and complete the outreach form with all the necessary information. That information was written on our form, and the provider reps would fax or email that form to me. At that point, I would look to see that I had all the information and then forward it to the tobacco reps. And at that point, the tobacco reps were following up with the sites. And they would report back to me as to whether they made contact, what the problems were, if there were training sessions that were actually scheduled. At this point, the provider reps stepped out of the picture, and it was just communication between the tobacco reps and me. And the most important protocol change from the first attempt was that our provider relations people did not have to attend the first session, the first meeting with the tobacco reps. This was more appealing to the provider reps because they had many, many other tasks to do and priorities to do, and it just left them a little bit more time to do that. We also identified additional practices. We reevaluated the high volume list. We went to the medium volume list. We tried to expand the number of places that we were talking to. There were frequent reminder calls and messages between me and the provider relations rep to answer questions, clarify protocol, set goals, and keep outreach on track. And there were a lot of questions from the provider reps. This is a different way of looking at dealing with their providers. This is a more clinical way of looking, and there was a lot of explaining to do and a lot of support having to be given to them. And it increased the we increased the communication between quality management and the tobacco cessation reps. We also developed information packs to help the provider reps understand more of what they're doing, give them something when they talk to the sites, when they talk to their providers. They had the answers at their fingertips. They could tell them what the benefits were. They could tell them what CAS means and what our scores were. They could tell them who the tobacco cessation sites were so that they had something in writing for themselves. Now, this went on, and if you notice on page 12, on slide 12, we had one very bright star, one provider representative who did a fabulous job. She's very shy about our giving her name, but she did work in Suffolk and Nassau counties, so that might give you a hint. And in a nutshell, the reason she was so successful was that she really knew her doctors. She had great relationships with them, and she knew them very well. She communicated with them constantly. And she also had a commitment to the program. She understood the program. She enjoyed doing what she was doing, and she didn't put it off for other kinds of work. She had a great relationship with the tobacco reps, and they talked to each other constantly. And as you can see, her success was primarily due to her willingness to be involved in the program. The communication between her and the sites and the tobacco reps was extremely important. She clarified what kinds of trainings need to be done, when it was happening, if there were changes, any kind of changes, where people would meet, what kinds of products the tobacco reps needed to bring. Everything was spelled out for both the tobacco reps and the provider sites, and that led to great successes. She could also answer questions about affinity, and she was very willing to do so. So we thank our anonymous provider rep for doing such a great job in helping us reach so many sites. Our final training numbers for all the work that we did are listed on slide 14. Affinity provider reps outreach to 31 sites. New York State tobacco representatives make outreach tries 36 times, and our actual trainings were 33. And that's pretty good. We did have duplications in certain sites for trainings. So not all sites had trainings that we outreached to. Some were not interested. Some we just couldn't get it together. But we did have a total of 33 sites. And all these numbers are based on submissions to me by the tobacco cessation centers. The successes and challenges of our project. This is on slide 15. This is the last slide. Our successes vary greatly by the provider relations representative as well as the tobacco cessation reps. Depending on the representative's commitment and ability to communicate with each other. We did increase collaboration across affinity department lines, which is very important. We worked very well with provider relations, the provider relations department, particularly my relationship with the provider relations manager was what made any success that we had possible. He would follow up with his provider relations representative, so I didn't have to do it. I would tell him, yes, this tobacco cessation representative has not heard from the from our person. Can you ask if they can get more sites available for them? So that was very important. Also, the collaboration between Affinity Health Plan and an outside agency. We would like Affinity, particularly the Quality Management Department, would like to work with outside agencies more and more. And this was a way for us to reach out into the community and a very successful way to do that as well. And we had success in scheduling trainings in provider sites that perhaps the tobacco cessation centers would not have been able to reach without our partnership. Our challenges, of course, were still there. The biggest challenge was competing priorities in both departments. In provider relations, there were many, many, many priorities that were thrown on the provider reps in between trying to do the smoking cessation outreach calls. So their time was very limited, and their priorities were defined by the management, and we had to work around those priorities, as well as priorities in the QM department, which included provider relations outreaches in different areas, and our performance improvement projects, as well as QAR chart reviews. A big challenge was the buy-in from decision makers. Because although they said that they really were on board with the projects when it came down to it, there were other priorities that came up. A buy-in from the provider relations representatives was a big thing because they experienced pressure to complete other projects that were really within their job description. So this many times fell to the bottom of the list. There were other things that needed to be done first. And our big lesson learned was to formalize protocol, formalize processes, and formalize communication with the between all of the parties involved in the collaboration. And I would be happy to answer any questions after the other presentations. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judy.
You're welcome.
So our next speakers are Irasima De Jesus and Dixon Olaya.
Hello, and thank you for joining us today. My name is Irasima De Jesus. I'm the Assistant Director for Clinical Performance Improvement, and I'm here today with my colleague, Mr. Dixon Olaya, our Clinical Communication Specialist, to share with you a few of our collaborative efforts and how and why NHP decided to establish a partnership with the Tobacco Cessation Centers and others to address tobacco use. I'm moving to slide 2 now. Who we are, what we do, and how we did it. Neighborhood Health Providers is a non-for-profit Medicaid managed care organization with approximately 11,000 network physicians that provide health care services to over 200,000 of our members. After attending the New York State Quit Summit in September 2009 and meeting with the tobacco cessation team leads and a few of the New York State Quitline champions, NHP gained a better understanding about evidence-based tobacco cessation strategies that can help smokers quit for good. We felt that there was room for improvement in this area, especially if we wanted to improve quality of care, help our members quit smoking, and support our providers to ensure that they have a system in place so that they can refer their patients who smoke to the New York State Quit Line. Today, we're partners in the promotion of quit smoking initiatives with the Tobacco Cessation Centers, as Judith mentioned, 19, New York State Medicaid Managed Care and Tobacco Work Groups, where in 2011, NHP took the pledge to promote all available Medicaid tobacco cessation benefits to enrollees and providers. Therefore, we work closely with the New York State Department of Health Tobacco Control Program, New York State Department of Health, and Mental Health of Tobacco Control, and the New York State Smokers Quit Line. I'm moving to slide 3 now. Smoking cessation benefits. So what changed? Beginning April 1st, 2011, due to the expansion of smoking cessation counseling benefits to all Medicaid beneficiaries, NHP covers 6 sessions per calendar year over a 12-month period. Beginning October 1st, 2011, as part of our Medicaid redesign, the health plans took over the pharmacy benefits. Therefore, NHP currently covers FDA-approved first-line medications, such as patches, gums, lozenges, nasal sprays, inhalers, prescription medications. Moving to slide number 4. NHP's smoking cessation program objectives include members, to increase member awareness and utilization of smoking cessation services, counseling, and or medication, awareness of the New York State Quitline resources that are available to them, enrollment in the planned smoking cessation program. Also, part of our objectives to the providers was to increase screening for tobacco use, awareness of New York State Quitline resources, and patient referrals to the New York State Quitline. Moving to slide 5. NHP's member and provider communication includes the following. My colleague Dixon Lai will walk us through the various ways NHP communicates to both members and providers about expansions of the smoking cessation benefits and our efforts to help members quit. Go ahead, Dixon.
Thank you, Rasima. Good afternoon, everyone. I'll go ahead and run through these items quickly. I'll go over the member communications first, then the provider communications. So for members on the call script. So when members call our member services line for assistance, our representatives follow a script that helps them provide callers with efficient customer service. Now, part of our script includes a set of questions that ask every single member who calls whether they smoke and whether they would like to receive information on how to quit smoking. If members say yes, then member services mails them a packet of information, which includes a cover letter, and items like a New York State Quitline brochure and a list of local tobacco cessation programs. Then, after 6 months, a follow-up packet is sent to encourage members to keep up with their goal to quit. Now, we added the questions related to smoking to the call script in January 2011, and by the end of the year, we had sent out several hundred initial packets, so we're definitely pleased to see that our efforts with this are paying off, and we'll certainly continue to monitor this initiative going forward. On the newsletters. So smoking cessation has been a regular topic in our biannual newsletters throughout the years, and with our most recent member newsletter, we included an article that focused on the smoking cessation benefits that are currently available to members related to medications and counseling. Within the article, we also encouraged members to speak to their providers to initiate dialogue on how they can quit smoking. On the website, for our members, we created a concentrated section on smoking cessation. The section includes links to the material that we provide in the packets that we mail, But we also include links to the New York State Quitline website and a link to the smoking cessation medications that are covered by the plan. We figure if we put them out there, then maybe members navigating the site will be more inclined to approach the providers about the medications and services that are available to them, which brings us to providers. So we know that we can send members a ton of information and material encouraging them to quit, but we also know that it makes much more of an impact if they hear about the importance of quitting, the health benefits of quitting from their doctor. To that end, we've done several things to get our providers further involved with quit smoking initiatives. At the start of this journey, we found that as we contacted several tobacco cessation centers, many of the centers were definitely open to collaborating with providers and facilities. In fact, they were already actively working to promote their services, notifying providers that they would be happy to come into their offices to run on-site workshops where providers could even earn CME credits. But the centers didn't have a lot of contact information for many providers, particularly fax numbers. So, to help them with this, we sent them our provider directory and asked them to look it over and to give us a list of the providers for whom they needed fax information. Well, they gave us the list and we gave them the fax numbers. The next step was helping the centers create an informational flyer that promoted the center's educational services. A sample of one of the flyers is on the next slide, slide 6. The flyers were subsequently faxed, and as a result of the initiative, the centers were able to get in touch with interested providers and to set up training sessions on treating tobacco use and dependence. Now, if you take a look at the sample flyer on the next slide, slide 6, you'll see that we made sure to include NHP's name on it, because we wanted to make it clear to our providers that this was a plan-supported initiative. We wanted to show that it was a collaboration between the tobacco cessation centers and NHP, and that we fully supported the efforts of the centers. So now moving back to slide 5. So provider newsletters. In our most recent provider newsletter, we included information about NHP's participation in the New York State Tobacco Cessation Workgroup. We also encourage providers to familiarize themselves with the available smoking cessation benefits. Our next provider newsletter is scheduled to be distributed later this spring, and we intend to include another article discussing the counseling and medication benefits, and also include information on how providers can contact their local tobacco cessation center on the website. Well, as we did for our members, we've also dedicated a section of our website to providing resources on smoking cessation information for our providers. The section includes clinical practice guidelines, links to the New York State Quitline, and a link to a list of the New York State Tobacco Cessation Centers. We've also included a downloadable version of the Quitline's Refer to Quit referral form to make it convenient for providers to make referrals to interested patients. So, as noted, we've done quite a bit of work getting the word out on smoking cessation to our members and providers. We certainly plan on continuing to do so, and we thank our partners at the Tobacco Cessation Centers and at the New York State Quitline for all of the efforts in helping us to put our materials together. I'll go ahead and hand it back to Irisima now. She'll move ahead to slide 7.
Hi. NHP's partnership with Tobacco Cessation Centers and others includes the following. The Manhattan Tobacco Cessation Program. In-service was provided for all NHP care coordinators who help manage our members. Three-way warm transfer to the New York State Quitline. In collaboration with the Manhattan Tobacco Cessation Program, the plan coordinated an in-service for its care coordination team. Therefore, all members who are currently being case managed and smoke have the opportunity to be connected with the New York State Quitline via a three-way warm transfer. In-service is provided for NHP provider relations representatives. As Dixon mentioned previously, the CME flyers, collaborative efforts to promote the tobacco cessation and New York State Quitline services are ongoing. The Manhattan Tobacco Cessation Program also provided NHP with an on-site orientation directed to our provider relations staff, who have been very instrumental in keeping our network providers apprised of available services to them and their patients specific to tobacco use. In-service provided for NHP staff, Great American Smokeout. On November 17, 2011, as part of the Great American Smokeout, NHP promoted Quitline benefits and resources to our own employees. The Manhattan Tobacco Cessation Program participated in this effort by conducting a You Can Quit Lunch and Learn workshop that educated plan employees on the benefits of quitting tobacco. Monthly New York State Quitline reports. NHP receives customized reports from the Tobacco Cessation Centers for NHP members who self-refer to the New York State Quitline. We also receive the New York State Smokers Quitline fax-to-referral reports, which are by county and list referring facilities and or provider offices. We use these reports to help us identify where provider education may be needed. Manhattan Smoke-Free Partnership. NHP also collaborated with the Manhattan Smoke-Free Partnership Borough's office, who has kept us abreast of legislative and grassroots changes specific to tobacco use, such as quit smoking laws in public places, secondhand smoke in New York City housing developments, information that we share and use to educate our members via our member newsletter. Moving to slide number 9, New York State Medicaid Managed Care and Tobacco Work Group. So what has NHP done to improve quality of care with regards to tobacco use? As previously mentioned, we took the pledge. We participate in the New York State Collaborative Conference calls and webinars. We continue to promote statewide quit smoking media campaigns. We promote smoking cessation guidelines, and we've updated our formulary. You can also learn more about NHP's concerted efforts to address tobacco use and the benefits of partnering with the Tobacco Cessation Centers and the New York State Quitline and our providers. You can read the February 2012 publication by the Coalition of New York State Public Health Plans, which lists Medicaid and Managed Care Family Health Plus quality updates. And this, our update on tobacco cessation was included there. Moving to our last slide, next steps. We started to monitor utilization reports for smoking cessation medications to see if and how we can use the data to support some of our initiatives. We look forward to our continued collaboration with the Tobacco Cessation Centers, the New York State Quitline, and our health providers, who are at the forefront, and through their efforts and the enhanced smoking benefits can help their patients quit. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to contact us. Our information is on, listed on the last PowerPoint slide. I'll hand the call now to Ms. Patricia Bax, the Marketing Coordinator of the New York State Smokers Quitline. Thank you. Pat?
Thank you, Irasima. On behalf of the Quitline and our health plan work group, which is comprised of representatives from the 19 cessation centers, thank you, Judy and Irasima and Dixon, for all your efforts with your members and your providers to help in decreasing the prevalence of tobacco use. And today you have provided us with robust information and specific strategies for replication by health plans and providers to help increase the access and utilization of cessation benefits. And the Quitline does work directly with New York State health plans, as you've heard today, of which many have representatives on our call today. And we work to identify strategies for increasing outreach and enhancing the services provided by the Quitline. So kudos and thank you to these plans for making cessation access and coverage a priority by recognizing stopping tobacco use is, as we all know, the best thing a person can do for their health. Our hope is that after this presentation today, as health plans and providers, you will recognize even more the resources that are available to you, as well as our commitment for future collaborations. And for those who are new to the call today, the New York State Smokers Quitline is a free service that's available for smokers, their families, friends, and, of course, providers. And since its inception in 2000, the Quitline, one of the busiest in the country, and located at Roswell Park Cancer Institute right here in sunny Buffalo today, I think it's around 80, which is great for March day, we've received more than 1.5 million calls. In 2011, the Quitline had 163,428 incoming calls, just to kind of give you kind of the scope of how many calls we do receive from both tobacco and non-tobacco users. We received over 8,000 provider referrals and had 36,000 people register for nicotine replacement therapy online. Working with our Medicaid managed care plans, we continue to expand our services to reach the low-income smokers and those more nicotine-dependent. To put that in perspective, 53% of our Quitline users in 2011 were either uninsured or on Medicaid, and 53% smoked a pack or more a day. Clients can access our services through a variety of ways, such as they can call directly, they can get a Quitline card or a brochure with our number, they can register for nicotine replacement therapy online, or they can be referred directly through their providers, as has been already discussed. We provide free coaching, support, and array of resources, as you can see on our website, nyspokefree.com. And we also provide an online smoke-free community for those individuals who may not want to call the quit line but are anxious to get help and are looking for tobacco cessation resources. And when we interview our clients, we do ask if they have a health plan. That's one of our questions that we ask in our screening interview. And if so, the quit coach will provide them with cessation benefit information from their respective plan. And this information may range from conveying a phone number to warm transferring the client to a vendor that has been hired by the specific health plan to offer enhanced cessation benefits, which can enhance the benefits that we offer, which is a two-week starter kit of nicotine replacement patches. So I encourage you to explore our site for valuable, ready-to-use tools such as downloadable materials, and we have recently posted some very informational and helpful videos. One of the things we try to do is really work on interaction with our tobacco users and our providers and health plans and employers. And in light of that, on April 17th from 12 noon to 1:30 p.m., we are hosting a lunchtime chat with Joe. He is a member of the New Voice Club, and he's going to talk about the harmful effects of smoking and reactions to the recently launched CDC campaign, which features tips from former smokers. We would love to have you join us, and information on our chat is posted on our website, at our Facebook page, and on Twitter. Also, we are collecting inspirational stories from tobacco users and providers, family members, anyone who really has been inspired to help other people to quit. We're posting them on our site under the Quit Now tab. And our first story that we've posted is from Joe, a New Voice Club member. So I encourage you to take time today or within the next week or so to take time to read his story, which is very inspirational. We are especially excited about our new OptiQuit program, which is an adoption of a systematic policy where tobacco users are identified and the clinic site, whether it be a hospital or a clinic, provides us with information so that the quit line can contact your patients to offer them the quit line services unless the patient does opt out. If you are interested in learning more about our referral process, I encourage you to contact the quit line directly at 1-866-697-8487 for more information. Tobacco use is a chronic condition, as we've heard so often today, that often involves a cycle between quit attempts and relapses. To break this cycle and successfully combat tobacco addiction, we can't work in silos. And as we've learned, there are numerous opportunities to maximize our resources, to collaborate, and to really share ideas as we work together to decrease the prevalence of tobacco use in New York State. Together, yes, we can make New York State a healthier place to live, work, and play. So thank you for participating on our call today. And at this time, Amanda, we will open it up for questions.
Certainly. The floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, please press the number 7 on your telephone keypad. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. If at any point your question has been answered, you may press 7 again to disable your request. If you are using a speakerphone, we do ask that while posing your question, you pick up your handset to provide favorable sound quality. The first question is from a line being shared by Susan Homich and Diane Lick. Susan and Diane, go ahead. If your phone is unmuted, please unmute your phone and ask your question, Susan and Diane.
We don't have a question, sorry.
Okay. Our next question is from Fayon I apologize. Thea Hanamopavan.
That's okay. We were just wondering, we're from New York City Health Department, and we're just wondering about the both plans, future plans on in terms of assessment and evaluation of these wonderful efforts that they've undertaken. We know that the 2011 CAHPS data has been released, but we're not sure if the timing of that is too close to these interventions that they could see any increased, I guess, numbers just to that reflected perhaps these interventions that they took.
Hi, Zayon. It's Irasima. How are you?
Hi, Irasima.
Yes, we got our CAP scores and we're looking them over as we speak, and we did see some improvement. I'm not going to elaborate on them just yet because there's still room for more improvement.
Okay.
But we are looking at that, and we're tracking, as Dixon mentioned earlier, any of our strategies in terms of outreach initiatives, with whether it's mailing packets, smoking packets out to our members. Our smoking program is self-grown. It's our program. So basically our case management and member services sends out these packets to any member who identifies themselves as a smoker. And we did see an increase in that. Now we're starting to look at pharmacy utilization data in terms of tobacco meds and so forth, and we're looking also at, you know, if those same members are also accessing counseling services. So we're putting, you know, all these strategies in place to start identifying where we have made an impact and where maybe we have to change some of our initiatives or our strategies. Judy?
I haven't received the 2011 CAHPS results yet. I just have it from 2010. And we did see some improvement, but I do think that it's too early for us to see any kind of changes because of this program. And I don't think that we've made enough, I don't think we've been in enough sites yet to make an impact. I think it's a longer effort that we need. QM at this point is not doing any direct smoking cessation work with our members other than writing articles for Healthy Streets, which is our newsletter, and putting information on our website. But we don't have any active programs at this point.
Thank you.
Our next question is from William Rosario. William, go ahead.
Hi, I want just a question for both Affinity and NHP. I was wanting to know if they ever offered an incentive to either the provider or the member for counseling for tobacco cessation or attempting to quit.
Affinity does not offer, at this point, we don't offer any incentive. The only incentive is for the benefits. We do pay for counseling as part of our benefit package, but we don't have anything above that.
Right. This is Irasima from Neighborhood Health Providers, and we don't know. Also, we just really try to reinforce the importance of giving it up simply because of the benefits of, you know, improving your quality of life and your health.
Okay. Again, as a reminder, if you do have a question, please press the number 7 on your telephone keypad. Our next question is from Patty Smith. Patty, go ahead.
Yes, I just want to say I don't have a question, but I do want to thank the presenters for sharing the many steps that it took to implement this program. And the fact that they were willing to share both the successes and some of the barriers they had to handle is quite refreshing. And I noticed you did stress the importance of good communication between the management, the staff, and the providers, which indeed is very important. And the fact that you took the extra step in working with the various cessation centers to make sure that the providers were well trained really enhances the effectiveness of this program. So I just wanted to say that it's very nice to see that both of these health plans are dedicated to reaching and maintaining the health and the well-being of their members, and I congratulate both programs on taking this step. And that's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, there are no further questions at this time.
Well, thank you, everyone. This has been a very informative collaborative call today. Thank you, Judy, Irisema, and Dixon, and Pat, and everyone from the Health Plan Work Group. We started this plan, actually, you know, planning for this call quite some time ago. The next collaborative call, I wanted to add that the Cessation Center list is on the website. If you want to contact a Cessation Center in your area, it's at the New York State Smokers Quit Line website. And in closing, the next collaborative conference call will be on Wednesday, May 2nd. It is entitled Overcoming Barriers to Treating Cancer Patients' Tobacco Use. The start time for the call will be at 12 noon, and our speaker will be Dr. Jamie Ostroff. We'll discuss challenges and strategies to help people with cancer stop smoking or using tobacco. So on behalf of the New York State Department of Health Tobacco Control Program, the New York State Tobacco Cessation Centers, and the New York State Smokers Quit Line, I want to express our sincere appreciation for the excellent presentation today, and thank you to all who have participated in today's call. This will bring us to an end. Thank you again, and have a great rest of your day, because it's fabulous outside. Please complete the evaluation survey to give us your feedback on today's call. And once again, if you want proof of participation, email Sue Lennon, whose email address is on the survey. Thank you.
Thank you. This does conclude today's teleconference. All participants may disconnect their line at this time.